Hello, I'm Rebecca Robinson, your host for the More to Life podcast in West Kelowna. Stories of people's lives have always fascinated me, and I believe they're one of the best gifts we can give. Our testimonies on how God delivers us through challenges or dark places inevitably gives hope and can help others see a light at the end of their tunnel. Join me as I interview varied guests who bravely tell their stories for us to be encouraged by. We are back with the More to Life podcast for February's episode. And I just want to start by saying that this year, our church celebrates 50 years, 5 decades of faith, friendship, failure, forgiveness, and fresh starts. Behind every anniversary are many people and many stories. They remind us that God doesn't just work in buildings or programs, He works in our lives. And today's guests are Colleen and Randy Mueller, and they have walked through these doors for over 30 years. Their journey includes loss, second chances, health challenges, and a love deeply personal, but it's also deeply woven into the story of this church. And I'm really honored to share their voices with you today. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
So maybe starting with you, Colleen, for those listening who may not know you, and you know, we have actually had listeners to this podcast in the States, in the Caribbean, in Singapore. So, you know, you're introducing yourself to new people. Can you share a little bit about who you were and what life looked like before you and Randy's paths crossed?
Well, this year I turned 65, so my life goes back a few. I was raised as a PK, and my parents actually celebrated 2 years of ministry, and that's how I was raised, and they were in a missions type of ministry to the Indigenous people on the West Coast.
Wow.
And that's how I grew up. And then eventually found my way to Bible school. And I graduated from Bible school. There I met my ex-husband. And we got married just shortly after. And then that's when we found our way here to West Kelowna, it was West Bank back then, and to Emmanuel. And so that was back in 1983. So I've been part of Emmanuel for 43 years.
43. I had the number wrong. Wow. That's incredible.
43 years, and just love this church. And then back in 2008, I experienced a divorce, and then I was on my own for about 8 years, 9 years. And in that time, I had a career, I had my kids, and I had God, and it was pretty wonderful. And then I retired in 2017 and found myself working here at Emmanuel as the part-time executive administrator. But one little note I forgot to mention was back in 1983 when I moved here, I was hired as the church secretary here at Emmanuel for 2 years. Until I had my first child. And so it's like a full circle. You know, then I retired from here just a few years back. But that takes me to 2017 when Randy and my story started.
Yep.
So I guess I just leave it there and let Randy catch up.
Sure. Okay.
Okay. Well, I'm a little different. I was born in Winnipeg, 1965. I'm 60. She got an older man, younger man. We went to a very strict German church, Baptist. I grew up a Baptist. I went to German school Saturdays.
Wow.
Sundays were German. And then the rest of the week was English school, so we didn't really have a lot of time for sports or nothing like that. When I turned 13, we moved to Richmond, and after getting to Richmond, I didn't feel good. It was just different symptoms, and my weight just went down the tubes. I was down to about 120 pounds, and eventually I was diagnosed with Crohn's. So that's been part of my life for all my life, basically. Mm-hmm. But and then I met a girl at church, and we were now going to an English church quick. And then we were together for about 2 years. And that time I was in and out of the hospital. And then we got called into her dad's, and we were not allowed to see each other anymore.
Uh-oh.
So at that point, we just said, well, either we split up or we take off. So we took off.
Oh, dear.
That's a whole other hour podcast right there. But
the adventures of.
Continuing that, we did come back. We got married, and we were married for 34 years.
Wow.
And that time we were involved in churches in Vancouver, church here across the street at Powers Creek. We went to Powers Creek for a long time.
Yeah.
And we both really enjoyed music, but we were brought up in a church where it was no drums, no.
Right.
So we went to this church once on a Saturday night. We were going to just check it out. And we could hear the bass and the drums from the parking lot. Aww. And we look at each other and we go, well, this can't be Christian. So we got in the car and went back home.
Oh, you didn't even go in.
No. Eventually, we went back and we really enjoyed it. And then at age 35, I decided I wanted to start playing drums. So I bought myself a drum kit and learned drums. And then I started playing at church there. And we were playing with Rick.
Yeah.
And then at that point, they left. And he needed a drummer here at Emmanuel. So he says, can you come and play one Sunday?
Ooh.
So I said, okay. Came and played here one Sunday. And when everyone from we stayed here.
Oh, wow.
So that was in 2002. So I've been here for about 20 years. Yeah, I had a business. Rhoda had a career. She was chief bio enforcement officer for Regional District.
Okay.
And I had a little business. And then in 2013, Ro just wasn't feeling well. Mm-hmm. And right prior to that, we were planning for retirement. I just got my dream job. I sold the business. Mm. I had a dream job up at Penasquer retirement, and we were both going to run this fishing lodge as a retirement thing. And then all of a sudden, she wasn't feeling well. She got really just not feeling well at all. Make a long story short, she went to the doctor and they found a little lump. Mm. And at that point, they said, you know what? No big deal. We can go in, take it out. It's probably cancer, but we won't worry about it. We'll just take it out. You probably won't even need chemo. But we have to do one more test. So they did a test the following week. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's okay.
And we were told she has 8 weeks.
Wow. 8 weeks.
So at that point, you know, her job meant everything to her. Right from the doctor's office, we went right to the regional district. She handed in her badge, her keys, and walked out.
Oh, my goodness.
And they offered her some palliative chemo, mm-hmm. which was very strenuous, but she had about 20 treatments. And, of course, they worked for a bit, didn't work for a bit, didn't work. And then eventually she passed away in 2015.
Wow. I'm so sorry. Such a hard thing to cope with. And not only that, but you dealing with your own health challenges all of this time.
Yeah.
And then thinking,
well,
this was a surprise from her end.
Our whole life, we always thought I'd be the first to go. And that's how we planned our life, right? Mm. She was healthy as a horse. She swam. She went to the gym. She didn't eat bad things, you know. Yeah. It just came out of the blue.
Yeah.
Just out of the blue. And she was just full. Her cancer was liver, lungs, stomach, brain, a nasal cavity, and adrenal glands, just full. And so that was a tough time.
Definitely.
That was a tough time.
What year was that, sorry, again?
2015.
15.
She passed away.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. And then you were suddenly divorced at what year?
2008.
Okay.
So I had been on my own for 9 years and very, you know, very comfortable in it. Like, I really did not feel any void as far as, you know, relationship and marriage. I had my career, I had my kids, and I had grandkids coming, and, you know, I had a very full life.
Yeah.
And my involvements here at the church continued, and I did not feel any that I was missing anything. And then, so do you want us to fast forward to us?
No. No, I can ask that. I mean, okay. I'm listening to this time overlapping mm-hmm. and how mm-hmm. you're coping with these things mm-hmm. and both going through the end of previous marriages, mm-hmm. albeit in different circumstances. Mm-hmm. And I'm also in that stage right now with a marriage mm-hmm. ending. And I'm just wondering if you can share what that kind of season was like you were just doing.
It was easier than I anticipated. Mm. I had a lot of support, friendships here at the church. And my relationship with the Lord, just due to some other things and the realities of the marriage leading up to the divorce, I had a very close relationship with Jesus.
Yeah.
And he was my all in all, mm-hmm. you know. And but my kids and just being in their lives, and I just didn't feel like I was really missing anything, and I really was not looking for anything.
I
was content, you know, that I would be walking out the rest of my life, you know, on my own. And then, I don't know, something kind of changed.
Okay.
When, I guess Randy and Rhoda were walking through their difficult, time, I was aware, like we had attended this church together for 15 years. Like we didn't really have friendship. We knew of each other. So my time on my own was a very reflective time with the Lord. And actually, I just stumbled across this scripture verse, and I have it dated actually May 2009, but it was during that that year that I stumbled across this scripture actually in Job.
Oh, okay.
And I'll just read it, Job 23:10-12. But he knows where I am going. And when he tests me, I will come. Oh my goodness. I will come out as pure gold. For I have stayed on God's paths. I have followed his ways and not turned aside. I have not departed from his commands, but have treasured his words more than daily food. And, you know, even though, you know, I may have felt at times that I was being tested, I knew that if I stayed close to the Lord, mm-hmm. followed his paths, that I'd come out as pure gold.
Yeah.
And that was my desire. And my kids were adults at that time. So I wasn't parenting small children.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that, I don't know if it made it better or made it worse. Mm. But sometimes my heart would break more for my children.
Yeah.
As they were venturing into their adult lives.
Yeah. What they've always known is now mm-hmm. not going to be the same. No, mm-hmm. I can completely mm-hmm. relate to that.
To balance the, you know, the two relationships in their lives.
Yeah.
And, so that's kind of, you know, I was just still wanting to be a good mom, to be present in their lives as they were going through, you know, getting relationships mm-hmm. And grandchildren starting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. of course. Okay. And for Randy, so that must have been an incredibly hard season for you to have such a quick, sudden.
Yeah. It was really
loss.
Quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just had to start living life. Like, you're a caregiver for so long, and then you pass away, and then the next day, what do you do now, right?
Like,
what do I do now? So it took a lot of healing. I had awesome support from family, from friends, and especially the church year men's group. It was just fantastic. I couldn't have done it without it. And then after the funeral, about a year later, I had a big dinner at the house for the family.
Mm.
And I put all of Rose's stuff out. And I said, okay, take what you want.
Right.
And go.
That's hard too.
And then I did a little bit of a getaway, just to collect my thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then just, okay, what am I going to do now? And at no time was I ever thinking, remarriage. Like that was the furthest thing from my mind.
Sure. Yeah.
Especially, yeah. I have unfortunately friends that have had some bitter divorces, and I go, you know, I was so lucky with my first one, a great marriage, no issues.
Yeah.
You know, I got it perfect the first time.
Right.
Can I? You can't get perfect twice. Right. And so I was really leery, and then one day, I went to out for dinner and I was by myself. I go, this is stupid. There's got to be somebody who wants to go for dinner with me. So
I have not yet done that. I've not yet taken myself out for dinner.
No.
But okay.
It's not good. It's not good.
I'm not really drawn to it. No.
Yeah. And then we were working on a project together for a Christmas party, or forget what it was, presentation.
It was a Christmas banquet for
and
Emmanuel.
Her and I were talking, and I just asked her, do you ever go out? You want to go for dinner or something? And that's how it started.
Nice.
It's just like that.
But you must have been looking at her beforehand a little bit.
No,
it was just like out of the blue.
Not at all.
Let's go.
Not at all. Like I had no inclinations at all.
How about you, Colleen?
Well, I've got a bit of a God story.
Okay.
So I once, you know, like I said, I was very aware of what was happening in Randy's life. And, you know, he's of great character, and, you know, he's just really showing his true self in this very difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
And then after Rhoda passed away, like at that point, I kind of felt for myself at Emmanuel, I was kind of like the only single woman.
Oh, right.
So I felt that, you know, like, oh man, people are probably looking at him, looking at me. And it's just like, and then, and like I had said, I really didn't think, I was not really open to relationships. I hadn't had any relationships.
Yep. And you were fine.
Around.
You were just
and
going
I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I didn't actually, I think a large part of it was I did not trust my, So, I started to feel a stirring inside of me, opening me up, opening my heart up to the possibility of love.
Okay.
And then towards Randy in particular, it was really interesting, to say the least. And that took, because I was so, just didn't have confidence in myself in that area, God knew it was going to take a while to really massage my heart and to get me in a place where I would be open and ready.
Where you could trust again.
Yeah. So it took all of 2016.
Wow.
Literally.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of the year because she passed away in November. So it was like the beginning of the year. And then when he sent this email that said, do you ever go out?
Like, Oh, you emailed her.
Yeah, we were communicating over a project.
Oh, wait.
So it was like in that moment, it was like, here it goes. I knew in my spirit.
Yeah.
And God had prepared me,
oh,
you know, over that period of time.
Yeah.
And then that was kind of, we did plan something that actually I think turned into more of a date.
Yeah.
And then that's how it all started.
Wonderful.
And I be honest with you, the day I picked her up, I thought I was cheating. It was difficult.
Oh, that's totally true. It's so so soon and fresh and, you know, hard for both of you. So, Randy, we heard about how God was kind of working in Colleen's life and massaging her heart, and kind of preparing her for a new relationship. And I'm just curious how you felt God was working in your life in this kind of pre-post time where your wife passed and before seeing Colleen. And
yeah, at that point, it was a very difficult time at that point. But God was never failed. He never failed me. He was always there. I had awesome friends. The men's group here was fantastic. This church support was really good. So I was brought along that way and carried a lot. And then, yeah, when we got together, it was like out of the blue. I wasn't at all thinking about getting into a relationship, but God too melded my heart. And I had to work through the problems of, you know, like I said before, am I cheating? Like, this feels like cheating to me, going out with a different
right,
girl.
Yeah.
I never date. Like, I had one girlfriend, married 34 years.
Yeah, yeah. It's a new whole world.
Just never went. Mm-hmm. Just never went that way. But, yeah, no, God was center. And I think the reason it was so easy for us just to meld together is because there was no big changes. We didn't have to leave a church. We didn't have to
right.
leave a city.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, two people together in the same church family.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was
a really mm-hmm. smooth transition.
Yeah, good point.
And we didn't have to, you know, it wasn't a big upheaval.
Yeah.
No one went through it.
But can you tell me how God was working in your own health challenges?
Well, yeah. God, like I said, God was always there. You look back and you always could see where God's hand was fulfilling. And there's things you look back in your life and you go, man, I wish that would have happened, but God knew better. And you look back at that point and you go, man, if that would have happened what I wanted to happen, it wouldn't be good.
Right? Yeah.
And God's always got these things in my back of my mind every day I wake up, you know, the purpose. He tests us to make us mature and to give us endurance. And His presence is always there in the good and the bad.
Mm.
And the peace, Jesus gives you that peace. So I know, you know, my health problems aren't going to make me live a long life.
Yeah.
So that's right. the peace that I have.
Yeah.
And other people will go, oh man, you know, you got so many troubles. I go, no, I'm happy. You know, life's great. I do what I can. I do have low times.
It seems like you live with eternity in mind, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a
yeah.
really powerful yeah. mindset to have.
Yeah. And strength. And God gives you that necessary strength. On a side note, I volunteer at hospice.
Oh, wow.
And I get assigned to a family who, or a person who's terminal. They get the news. I've been with some families for as little as 2 weeks and some for as long as 2 years.
Wow.
And I'm with them right to the end. And I can tell you that the majority of the people that I help have nobody.
Yeah,
and,
amazing.
And they have no hope. They have no faith. They have no friends. Mm. They have no family, and they're alone. And they spend those last few hours or the last few weeks by themselves. And we are so fortunate to have a church body that comes around you.
Mm-hmm.
And God, he's just awesome. Like, he just loves you so much. Right?
Yeah, that's an amazing thing to volunteer and do.
Yeah.
And be close to that situation on a regular basis.
Yeah, I really enjoy it. It's my way of giving back, because I got the palliative team when we were going through with Roe was just incredible, and they got me onto the hospice. And I went there for a couple of, you know, they had some grief counseling there. And then I found out that there's people every day in Kelowna or in the Okanagan dying alone with nobody.
Wow.
And yeah, so I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
I really enjoy helping.
That's amazing.
That way.
That's excellent. And so you get together, you get married, you had a very short courtship from what I understand.
Yeah, February to June, end of June.
Uh-huh. And so after you were married, what would you say helped you grow spiritually together as a couple, since you kind of had a previous marriage? So what helped that meld your relationship?
I think it's because our goals are the same.
Oh, okay.
And our goals and our outlook, our faith. We both love music, worship music especially.
Yeah.
It's just you can't have two people join together and have one go in that direction, one go in that direction. It doesn't work, right? And we both go in the same direction. We have the same loves, we have the same hobbies sometimes. Like, I'm a bit more redneck, but she's shot a few of my guns. She's pretty good.
There you go.
Oops.
Yeah, before they're taken away.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
I think it's very important that you have basically the same faith. Like, if you had, if your goals are the same, mm-hmm. it's half the battle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What would you say, Colleen?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, talking about our church family.
Okay.
You know, like, we were part of the same church family. So, like, we didn't miss a step. When Randy says we didn't have to change churches or towns or, you know, we were already here and planted here at Emmanuel. And the body was so happy for us. They'd seen what Randy had gone through. They had, you know, seen me over the years. And they wanted to celebrate with us. So actually, our wedding ceremony, we just put an invitation out to whoever wanted to come.
Oh, wow. That's great.
Yeah. So, yeah, because there were so many people that just wanted to celebrate with us. And so, yeah, we had no idea, but we heard through the grapevine. And so we thought, well, we want to show our appreciation to these people for their support to us. So we put on a little stand-up reception. And in the lobby of the church, and then later on had invitation-only reception. But it was just so great to feel that love and support from the body of believers here at Emmanuel. And I think, you know, that really launched us and into, you know, it you know, we did have, I think we had like one really good year, and then Randy's health started to take a little bit of a hit. And for me, it was all like, you know, it was, you know, he'd lived with it for how many years. And for me, this, okay, I knew that there would probably be things in the future, but it hit sooner than we thought. And so I would say that really brought us to another level of faith together. Challenged our faith a bit. But it was just, God was there, and when we cried out to him, he made his presence known. You know, the answers that we wanted weren't always didn't always go in that direction, but we could cry out to him and we knew he was there. And so that has been our journey even to, you know, the present. But what's comforting to me as I'm walking through this is seeing the peace that he has, and because he's been through it for so long. And God's, I keep hearing the word in reference to Randy, resilient, you know, and that really does represent. And it's just because God has proved himself over and over.
So you're seeing the effect of God and the peace in his life, and you're drawing from how he's reacting to his health issues, and it's helping you.
Helps calm me.
Help you cope and help you stay grounded and everything as well to him. That's really neat. That's a way to grow together for sure.
Yeah, very, very quickly on, you know, I personally was living my vows, you know, in sickness and in health. And when I recited those vows, I knew what it meant. And it had a lot of meaning to me. And and we're doing it.
You are.
our first year together was great. You know, we went, we both worked our butts off so we could retire and travel. Right? My goal was to spend every winter down in Yuma. I got rid of the, you know, just being the being a beach with a palm tree when it's winter here. Right? And that's all I ever wanted. And so the first year we made all these plans and all that. And then a year into it, we were just at the kids in Vancouver, and I passed out. And I went to the hospital, and they said, "Oh man, you're so dehydrated." I go, "Well, I'm always dehydrated. That's what happens." And then one thing led to another, then it showed my kidneys were going. So then, since 2019, I had to go to the hospital 3 times a week for 4 hours.
Wow.
Every week.
What an impact on your life. Gee.
That took away our traveling. That took away basically everything. And that's where we really had to.
A lot of hopes dashed and a lot of plans changed.
And you're just
that's so
going
tough.
Back and forth to the hospital all the time.
Thinking, how long will this go on for?
A lot of kind of resets in our life.
Definitely.
But we do it.
God blessed us last year.
You really just have to throw up your hands and say, okay.
After a while, you know, like, God, what's next?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one day at a time at this point. And, you know, constantly I when things start to kind of shift a little bit in our lives, and I've got to a point where it's kind of like, I have this little bit of excitement that brews, you know, in right. the bottom of my soul. Okay, how's God going to work this one out? You know, like
awesome
he's...
Awesome way to look at it.
Yeah, he just constantly makes himself known and provides and in ways that we, like Randy has said, how, you know, we may think it should go this way, but he wants us to go this way. And then later you say, okay, that's why, mm-hmm. you know, he's constantly working.
For he knows the plans he has for you.
Yeah. Oh, and
no matter what plans we try to make.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, the scripture in this world, you will have trouble, but he has overcome mm-hmm. the world. And trouble's going to hit, mm-hmm. but he has overcome all the evil and whatever that can be thrown at us, and we just choose to walk in his victory.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So can I ask, you know, because you've been part of Emmanuel for, as you said, 43 years, what has made you stay? Because I personally, I've been part of several different churches, albeit because I moved quite a bit in my life, but even growing up, we were changing churches and trying to find one that would fit. And I'm just curious, like, there's not many people that I know of that have stayed that long in one church. So what would you say make you stay at Emmanuel?
I think for myself, it's because I was brought up in a pastor's home.
Okay.
So yep. Volunteering, ministry is at the core of me. Mm-hmm. And I just... digging in and making, finding out where God wants me to do what. And I think over the 43 years, I probably touched on every aspect of ministry at Emmanuel.
Right, wow.
But the commitment that comes out of that, this is my second home. Mm-hmm. There's just something that the community that comes out of that, being part of teams, you get to know people, and that's what's kept me. And it's just part of my DNA mm-hmm. as well mm-hmm. to, you just learn endurance, you know, the long-term endurance.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, through the ups and the downs. And, for me, that's what's kept me here, and just loving the people. And I've met so many people over 43 years.
Yeah, I guess so.
A lot of relationships, and you know, some relationships that people move away, and yeah. you know, that's difficult. But a lot of the type of relationships where maybe, you know, they have moved on to another church or whatever, but you see them, and it's like no time has passed.
Yeah.
It's that type of relationship and family mm-hmm. that comes out of digging in and wanting to make a difference and being part of something bigger than oneself.
Right. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a being part of this church is like a family, and you don't walk out on family.
Yeah.
Right. And when you're I've been at many churches as well, and you know, there's always something going on in the background, like issues and whatever.
Yeah.
And you know, you do your best to stay, but sometimes it's just, you know what, this is not meant for me.
Right.
And I've been here now for, I think, 20 years.
Mm.
And it's a family, and you just don't walk out on family. Mm-hmm. Like, family is important.
There's so much more than just the Sunday yeah. morning when mm-hmm. you get yourselves
Absolutely.
Involved in it.
You know,
and
you know, in the men's group, we really try to emphasize a 2 a.m. friend, where you have one friend or two friends or a family of guys where you can call them no matter what. 2 in the morning.
Wow.
I need help. I'm thinking I'm going to start, you know, guys that have issues with drugs or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, they got that 2 a.m. friend.
Oh, I love that.
And that's
that.
Very, very rare.
That's powerful to have.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What a great thing to develop that, here. Yeah.
Everyone needs a couple of those. And church... Yeah, it's incredible.
Are there times in the past, you know, decades that you've been here that seasons that stand out the most to you, or ups and downs that kind of had an impact that you could recall?
Well, for myself, I think the biggest season that impacted me the most was, 14, 15? Easter seasons that we did, Easter productions.
Right.
And I had the privilege of leading the music through those performances. And just seeing God move. Like, I was so shocked the very first time we did it, the number of people that showed up. And then the number of responses to the altar call at the end. You know, it just, and so that's what, you know, people say, how can you do something for that many years in a row? Well, that's what kept drawing me back. It was knowing the why. And seeing the fruit of it. And so that that was very inspirational for me. I grew a lot spiritually through that because I've really felt the responsibility of keeping myself pure before the Lord during those times so that I knew the mind of Christ in that. And then just seeing, you know, like going back to Manual as a Family, seeing the friendships and the relationships that came out, the people that were involved in that, that came back year after year, and seeing how they were blessed in doing it. And that was something that really stands out to me and was very formative for me. And for, I know a lot of people at Emmanuel, and just lives touched, not just those responding to the altar calls, but those coming and being part of it, who maybe didn't have strong faith or whatever, but coming to faith
growing
in Christ
up in it too,
through it, being part of it, seeing, you know, certain individuals whose lives were touched that way. It was just, I think it was just a really exciting time in Emmanuel's history.
Awesome. Yeah. How about you, Randy?
Well, for me, it was the church has always been a beacon in the community as well. Like, I remember we had a big funeral before all this new building was here. We had a big community event or funeral for a child that was murdered in Peachland. And the whole community came together. And I think that's that funeral kicked us in an upper gear.
Interesting.
Like, it just put us into first, and we're going to go up this hill.
Yeah.
And after that, we had some donations come in to fix up the gym a bit. And the community found we were there. And since then, we've been doing a lot of community stuff. Like the fires, we were, during the fires, we were a parking lot for people. The Billy Graham people were here using our stuff. There's been huge funerals here, huge award ceremony. So the new building, even though it's just a building, has been a real godsend for
this
church.
A real central station,
And it's now put us, we have a facility now that we can use and we can share with the community. And I think it's important that we are that beacon. I'll just go back to the volunteers and this, the commitment. Before this nice building was here, we had a gym. And that gym was the kitchen, it was the dining room, it was the floor hockey space, it was the sanctuary, it was everything. So every Sunday or every Saturday or Friday night, you have to have a whole bunch of guys, and it was usually the men's. We would come out, put 300 chairs out, put this heavy stage out, bring out the sound equipment. The worship teams, we would get here early for practice, do our set at 9 o'clock, pack everything up, race over to Peachland, do our set there, then pack everything up, come back here, set up again, and go for the second service.
That's wild.
So it would be here from, you know, 7:30 in the morning to like one in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And then taking all the chairs down and getting ready for Monday night where they use the gym.
Wow.
So people who have just come in the last 10 years, they have no clue what kind of commitment and how hard it was to do church before this building. We are so spoiled now. And when you hear people saying, oh, you know, this is too loud or this, whatever, you know, the drum's too loud. You go, man, you guys don't know how good you have it.
Yeah.
You know. Like, sure, it's not.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's.
We don't see the workings behind the scenes and how a church has really built on the foundation with the people. It's the people that have made this building become.
And that's what I really hope during this year, as we're celebrating the 50th anniversary, that some of the newer people will come to get to understand the sacrifices.
The drive, the passion.
The passion, you know, what has gone on to bring Emmanuel to where it is right now, because it's not always been like this.
Yeah.
We just about had water slides.
What's that about?
Oh, story for other time.
All right. And so because you've been here and through, you know, first marriages, second marriage, how would you say the church community has helped you and your family through your faith and making it stronger?
I think I got raised my kids here, you know, through the seasons of life. And I was privileged to have that. And, you know, from the very beginning, like starting families together with others of like faith. Raising them, supporting each other as we're raising our kids. And then through the kids programs and the youth programs and then becoming empty nesters together.
Right.
You know, it's like we've grown up together. And like I did not have that as a child. You know, being a preacher's kid, we moved quite a bit.
Right.
You know, so I didn't have those kind of relationships through the stages of life. Okay. I kind of just hopped in here and there, you know. But to have that has meant the world to me. And then when I went through the change in my life, those relationships that I had built had been built into me, provided to me, and that I had built into all those years were there for me through the hard times. And then celebrating with me when Randy and I found each other. And now we're, you know, we're walking through our retirements together.
It's a whole lifetime.
And it's all centered around Emmanuel.
It's
Emmanuel's been my life.
How very cool.
It is. And I know how blessed I am to have had that. Not everybody does. No. And that's not everyone's story here. But for me, that's my story. And it's amazing.
And the support of the church has really come around you through your health struggles and as a family would.
Absolutely. There was times where I couldn't. We moved into our place, right? And we moved in and I had surgery. And I couldn't do anything. And we had these four trees that had to be cut down. Well, our cell group came and chopped my trees down and they did it for me.
It's church outside the building. It's all over. It's everywhere.
And when we first came here, like when Ro and I first came, we were like, we said we were from that strict Baptist background, German background. And it was such a freedom coming here. Because doing church here is so much more freedom than there is in a very strict traditional church. And it's not that it's bad, but it just gives you more freedom to express and to, it's just great.
So if I can ask, with all of these experiences that you've had and all of the ups and downs, what would you say to couples or couples facing second marriages or families who might be feeling overwhelmed or discouraged, whether it's health struggles as well or just this, what is God doing right now and what can you encourage them with based on what you've been through?
I would say don't try to do it alone. Reach out.
For sure.
That's what the church body is for. It's so easy to just get caught up in your what you're experiencing and what you're feeling and feel no one will understand. No, that's not the case. Don't allow yourself to go there. Don't feel like you have to do it alone. That's what the body of Christ is for, and to reach out, whether it's, you know, seek out a life group or the men's group or the women's group or and reach out to someone. Because there are people here who genuinely care and love and want to support. And that's what the body of Christ is for. And, you know, if you're having a hard time finding someone to reach out to, get involved in something. Be part of something, and relationships come out of working together. You know, whether it's, you know, helping with something in the kitchen or, you know, volunteering as a host at the door and being part of a team. Like, you just never know who God's going to bring across your path, who could be that someone, who could be that encouragement for you.
Definitely.
So just dig in, volunteer, don't pull away.
Yeah, that's great advice. Do you have some idea, Andy?
Yeah, a little bit different. I would say have patience and form your new relationship, which if it turns out to be a marriage or whatever, on biblical principles. mm-hmm. right? Have the same goals, have the same faith, have the same trajectory
yeah.
Towards you where you want to go.
Yeah.
Because if you want to go this way and they want to go that way, it's not going to work. Yeah. And listen to the Holy Spirit inside you. He's going to yeah. tell you. You know, I have a buddy right now who's going through a relationship, and it's new.
Yeah.
And he keeps asking me, how do you know if it's the right one? How do you know if it's the right one? I says, you will know, right? If you're going someplace and that person isn't there, and you don't enjoy it because, man, I wish she was here to experience this with me. Hmm. Well, then, yeah, she's probably the right one.
Right.
But if you go to something, oh, glad she's not here. She's just talking my ear off. Well, maybe it's not the right one. Right?
What a relief to be alone. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, listen okay. to those little voices. That's the Holy Spirit trying to, okay, buddy.
Guide you. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's great input.
One. Or this one.
Awesome. Thanks. So as we celebrate 50 years at Emmanuel, what do you hope the next generation understands about faith, about commitment, and about God's ability to redeem any story? Who would like to go first?
I am very impressed with today's kids, especially in the church here. And, you know, kids get a bad rap. You know, they're always on their phones or they're digging into this, but... You know, you come even in the men's group or young church on the left side in the sanctuary, you see the young people worshiping and coming to church, basically being part of the church. And you have a lot of high hopes for that. And when they go mm-hmm. out to do their youth, you know, they're all excited to get out there. And I have a lot of hope for the future of the church
yeah.
of Emmanuel. And I know these kids, they have... Church is going to be done totally different than what we're used to.
Right,
in five,
right.
6 years, things will always change as long as it's correct theological-wise. Yeah, sometimes you do have to do church, and they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, they'll figure it out. And I have a lot of hope, and I hope that they, you know, carry on the commitment to the community, commitment to number one, Christ, and just keep this thing going for the future generations.
Yeah,
same. It's really important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's great, yeah. How about you, Colleen?
I think I would say just keep pursuing God, pursuing growing in your faith and your love for Jesus. You know, at my age, I still feel like I'm learning.
Mm-hmm.
And you never get to a point where there's not something that you couldn't be learning and digging into or just talking to the Holy Spirit about what you should be learning, direction he wants you to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, church is changing. Nothing stays the same in this world anymore.
Yeah.
But Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, he remains the same.
Yeah.
The word remains the same. So just dig into God's word and grow your faith
mm-hmm.
and just consistency and sharing your faith.
Awesome. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great encouragement. Well, thank you for sharing your journey, you guys, so honestly. And your story, it's still living. It's a reminder that faith isn't about being perfect, and we can't expect that, and we expect troubles. So it's about perseverance and building community, building family where you're at, and having courage and patience, like you said. So here's to 50 more years of that kind of faithfulness in your life and in Emmanuel's life. And I look forward to all the future stories I get to hear coming from you.
I wish I had 50 years.
Well, 50 years to continue in heaven, and then no numbers matter.
That's right.
Awesome.
Well, thank you for being interested in our story.
Of course.
Thank you very much.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thanks.